Well, now you have put together a special package for Reno Race in connection with Cancer Care Connection. What's that all about?
Well, the Cancer Care Connection is a charity that's been established in Delaware here, and my partner Pip Conklin, who is the genesis of Pipsqueak, our race too, Jet, is a member of the board, and she's been working real hard to put together a package that be offered as a raffle for folks, which is a tremendous opportunity to get a free trip to Reno, stay in a casino, get to a backstage pass to an Aaron Tippin concert, get to hang out at the Reno Jet Pits with some of the top military aviators of the last 20 years. I mean, we've got the Jet class has got very impressive credentials. We've got four Air Force Academy graduates, at least three combat veterans, two shuttle commanders, and several other Air Force fighter pilots in that group. Nice group to be hanging out with. And also, it's an opportunity to see the race up front, up close, and see what really goes on out there at the Reno Air Races.
Sounds like a heck of a package. And, of course, I believe that this raffle is going off online right now, if I'm not mistaken.
That's my understanding. One little element that I left out is we're trying to work out with the FAs and finalize yet. But if it works, the winner's going to get an opportunity to fly in Race 2 Pipsqueak with Kurt Brown as the pilot. Kurt Brown's one of our astronaut shuttle commanders. And that's a tremendous opportunity to meet and hang out with a guy like Kurt.
Sounds like an awesome package. How did you guys come up with this thing?
The package, I got to turn that over to Pip. That's all, Pip put the package together. She was the one who really thought it all up and said, hey, we really need to be doing this. It's, the Cancer Care Connection is a tremendous concept in terms of support. I'm sure Pip's talked about it, but to be told by some guy in a white coat's looking across the table at you and says, look, we just ran these tests on you, and it looks like you've got cancer, you've got about 6 months to live. That's like getting hit in the head with a sledgehammer. What do? And you call Cancer Care Connection. And they've got folks there that are very compassionate, they're very professional, they're trained, they understand what's going on, and they'll tell you what you need to do. They'll tell you what the best way to go, what the best options you have are, and where you can get the support you need to get through the ordeal that you're clearly going to be faced with going forward. It's the kind of thing that you just don't want to be doing on your own if you can possibly help it. You want all the support and the help you can get, and these folks are going to be there to do it for you.
It sounds like a great opportunity not only to support this organization but also to have yourself one really good time as well.
Speaking of the choir here, but I just couldn't imagine an opportunity to do that. I'd be buying a lot of raffle tickets myself if if I didn't have a shot at the ride on my own.
I was going to say, you own Pipsqueak, so you've already got an in there, no problem. Well, speaking of Pipsqueak, what kind of modifications have you done to this airplane?
Okay, Pipsqueak. What have we done to Pipsqueak? First of all, we have the first step was that when I approached Dave Canavo and said, look, we want to go racing. Dave Canavo from Aero Enterprises is really the guy that you want to be dealing with if you want to race jets at Reno. So Dave said, look, the first thing you're going to do is you got to get a light airplane. So we started out by going to the factory. Dave was looking at buying several aircraft for customers in the U.S., and it turns out that Aero Vodohody, the Czech manufacturer, had a little old derelict in the corner, kind of forlornly sitting there. It was production number 5. Those of you that know aircraft, military aircraft, know that the earlier aircraft tend to be the lighter, simpler aircraft. And it doesn't get much older, newer, lighter, simpler than production number 5. And because the folks that were buying the L-39s, very interested in later model aircraft, nobody wanted it. So they practically gave it to us. We paid almost, that's the embarrassing part, we paid not a whole lot more than shipping to get the aircraft. Just sort of threw it in with the other planes in the deal. We got it over here, and then what we did was we continued to lighten it up. For example, the aircraft has a ram air turbine, which is an emergency generator that drops out into the airstream. The whole assembly weighs about 100 pounds. What we do is just take it out and throw it away. Now we don't have an emergency generator. Is that a big deal? Not really, because now we've also got U.S. batteries, and U.S. batteries are a heck of a lot better than Cold War Russian batteries. And with the U.S. batteries in the current generator, you've got plenty of electrical power. You don't really need that piece. So we lighten it up. We take out the instrumentation package. The old Cold War instruments are very heavy. We've replaced the instrument package with little EFIS tubes. So we've got full instrumentation. The aircraft's fully IFR, but with all modern glass equipment. So the cockpit's lightened up by several hundred pounds. We then balance the CG as far aft as we can get it. And very frankly, that's where pilot skills start to come in. As you get that aft, that CG back real aft, you've really got to know how to handle the aircraft. If you do, not a problem. Then the other major mod we did, of course, was winglets. If you look at Pipsqueak or any photos of Pipsqueak, you'll notice it doesn't have the standard wing tanks. That saved about 100 pounds in weight, but it also cut the drag down to where we got 35 miles an hour more. Dave Canavo did a considerable amount of research in designing these aircraft. There's a flight test up on our at warbirdsofdelaware.com. You can see a flight test of the winglets. And you'll see that how tremendously effective they are. They also increase the roll rate and make flying formation a heck of a lot easier. The other thing is we have no antennas. Antennas are all buried. If you look at Pipsqueak, there's absolutely nothing sticking off that airplane. Everything's been buried inside under plastic or under the canopy so that there really aren't any protrusions that are going to cut down on our aerodynamics.
Sounds like you guys have done a lot of work to the aircraft. How long did it take you to get Pipsqueak race ready?
Well, actually, the plane came over here in February. The first year we raced it, I think it was February 2005. It came out of the box in February. They put it together, slapped a little paint on it, and had it out to Reno Racing in September. And but we hadn't done a lot of work. That was back and the early jet class, not the current jet class. And the aircraft were all... was required that you have a stock L-39 to race back then. So all we really needed to do is bring a light airplane, and as Dave was putting it together, he was pretty good about throwing away everything we didn't really need. So it was pretty light when we went out there. And primarily the first year we raced, that was our major advantage, was that the aircraft was light and the antenna were buried. And that gave us a huge edge over the other folks just because we'd thought of that up front. Going forward, as we've gone forward into the race years, and with the new jet class, which was formed in 2006, the rules have been changed, and now we're allowed to do more modifications, and that's what we've been doing going forward.
So when you're out there at Reno, what kind of preparations do you do to the aircraft while you're actually at the airport?
While we're at the aircraft, well, first thing we do is we make sure we got a good coat of wax on it, and then we make sure we've got gas in it, and then we go fly. And unlike the poor folks that have the propeller-driven airplanes that spend all night turning wrenches and getting covered with oil and grease, we just go home and relax, because the jets are wonderfully efficient, wonderfully reliable. And that's the great news about jets at Reno. There's almost never anything that we have to do after a race to modify. What we might do is might come down and say, look, we did, just like NASCAR, we might say, look, let's take a little bit of weight out of the nose to change the CG a little bit for the next ride, see if can't get a better feel on the course. But that's literally about it, just slight modifications to the CG.
So when you're out there on the course and you're surrounded by all these other pilots, what are you looking for?
Well, it's when you're flying formation, the only time you're really surrounded is when you're coming down the chute. And that's just a classic formation technique, is that all you're doing is flying off lead aircraft and the wing of the aircraft right next to you. That's all you're focused on. And every other aircraft is doing the same thing. And that's all you worry about, is that wing of that aircraft next to you and the lead. And you work those two, the visual references to those two. It's a lot of work for the poor guy out at number nine slot. But that's coming down the chute. And then once you're on the course, what you're looking for are those pylons. That course changes its look with the speed you're flying and the time of day you're flying because of the sun, the way it hits the course, and then if there's a cloud cover, broken clouds that come over because of the way the lights hit the pylons. So your focus is very hard on finding those pylons and making darn sure you know exactly where you are on the course, because if you stray off the course, the FAA, you basically get disqualified. And the other problem is, of course, you're looking for other aircraft, but you've just got to have situation awareness. That's one of the things you've got to have on that course. You've got to know where everybody is. And that's usually not as hard to do as it sounds, because you know the speeds that everybody is qualified at, and you know who's in front of you and who's behind you, and it's not quite as chaotic as NASCAR. You've only got about 6 or 8 planes on the course, so you're not going to have a situation where you've got a lot of traffic around you. You have one or two, and a real crowded turn is going to have maybe 3 or 4 airplanes after that first turn. First turn is very crowded. We've got a rule. You don't pass in that first turn. And that's just really, really critical, because that first turn is very crowded, and you've seen it in Indy a lot. In the old days, they used to pile up in that first turn, and we just cannot afford to do that. So once we got around that first turn, we just kind of string out a little bit, and then it's a little bit easier to keep track of everybody and start getting in a passing.
Safety obviously is a key thing at Reno Racing.
Oh, absolutely. Safety is the first thing, and that's the first thing that's emphasized both in the briefings you get from the FAA and from RARA and from the jet class. And that's what Kurt Brown and his chief instructor will emphasize during the class. The safety is paramount.
All right. Well, if you're cruising along, you're in the middle of a race, and you have emergency, let's just say you have some kind of technical problem that requires you get on the ground immediately, what do you do?
Well, that's part of what you learn in pylon racing school. Obviously, this is a problem that happens with the Unlimiteds, the highly modified World War II fighters, because they break a lot. We have had a couple. The way it works is that once you have an emergency, you've got tremendous amount of energy, because you're at full throttle, and at 500 miles an hour, you can climb just by pulling the nose up. You can get up to 3,000 or 4,000 feet. You call a mayday, and there are lots of rescue crews around that have been briefed on what's going to happen. You've got several runways to pick from, and your job is to pick one of those runways and bring that aircraft down and land it, and depending on what's wrong with it, you shut it down on the ramp, taxi it in, whatever. But we practice that, and one of the things that we practice, even during race practice before the races, is we're all out there practicing maydays, where we'll pick a spot in the course and just go, okay, I'm going to pull up here and see if I can't pick a runway and line up on it and make a landing as a simulated flame out.
How are the crowds out at Reno? Are they enthusiastic by any chance?
Oh, the crowds are just wonderful. There's a tremendous amount of people that come out there, and they're all aficionados. And, you look at the crowds, you see lots of Sun and Fun shirts and Oshkosh shirts out there. Folks that follow the races around, just like NASCAR. And, we do our best to, make it as much fun for them as we can.
Sounds like a good time. I think I'm going to have to get out there one of these days.
Well, we'd love to have you out there. I mean, we've got a lot more folks are coming. There's a lot more interest in the jets, and the other classes are real strong too, and we've got a tremendous following, and would just love to see that go and grow.
Sounds like a good time to me. So check it out, everybody. CancerCareConnection.org for that raffle with a ride in Pipsqueak. Trust me, you do not want to miss out on that. That is wickedly cool ride. Joe Gaino just took me up. It was a lot of fun. And I think we're going to wrap it up. So I'm Fast Eddie, and you're listening to EAA Radio.